Glad to have you here this morning. We've been talking about our witness for the Lord and people all around us being lost, and that's not changed. And we've been talking about our mission, our purpose for some time now, about loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and our mind, spreading the gospel, loving our neighbors, ourselves, and that kind of thing. So we've come up, these slogans sound real nice, but the question to us in the last few weeks is prayer truly a priority in our life, or is it just a nice little thing to put on the screen? And the encouragement to all of us is to make sure that prayer is a priority in our life. Discipleship is definite. We're praying that we're being discipled and we are being disciples, that both, that we're learning, we're growing in the Lord, we're paying attention to His Word, and then we pick someone out along life's way and we disciple them. We help them along by teaching them the good things of God. And as evangelism is essential. That's what God is all about, this saving work, this gospel, the good news. And He wants us to make sure that evangelism is essential in our life as individuals, as a church body. Matthew 9:35 on the screen, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. The next slide's Matthew 10:1. He called His 12 disciples to Him, and He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Matthew 10:5-8, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So we know that the Scripture supports this title of evangelism is essential. World War I, it was a brutal, brutal war. We read about it. We think about it. And, of course, I wasn't there. You weren't there. But we have history to look at. We know how devastating it was. And the U.S. had some trouble with this new war tool, and it was called the submarine. And people were saying, what do you do with this thing? Will Rogers is quoted as saying, what we need to do is boil the ocean, because boiling the ocean will create such a pressure that it will force the submarine to the top. Then we'll pick it off, we'll destroy it just like a duck on a pond. And the reporter said back to him, he said, well, that sounds great. Now, how are you going to boil the ocean? I'm just telling you what to do. It's up to you to work out the details. You know, how are you going to boil the ocean? That's a pretty big task. I'm just telling you what to do. You work out the details. We come to church and we say evangelism is essential. It's got to be essential for the church to be alive. We want to see people saved, and we take the same approach. Well, I'm telling you what to do. It's up to you to work out the details. Well, we have details. We have instruction from God's Word how to do this, and Jesus is the very one giving that instruction. So we can't take that attitude. I'm telling you what to do. Now, you just figure out how to do it. No, Jesus says, I'll tell you how to do it. I want you to be my witness. You've got the greatest story on the face of the earth, that Jesus loves people, that Jesus died on Calvary's for the sin, my sin, the sin of the world. He rose again on the third day with victory over hell, death, and the grave. We as the church have the greatest story that's ever been told. Now, Jesus says, here's the story. I want you to go witness. I want you to go preach. I want you to do those things. How do we do it? Jesus said, listen, I come for this purpose. I came to seek and save the lost. And I'm going to show you about this. I've done my part. And you that join up with this church, the ones that are Christ followers, I want you to be about my business too. I want you to be about saving souls. I'm going to send you. That's any born again person. I'm going to send you out into the world. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever you do, I'm sending you out to be my witness. I'm sending you out to reach the lost. So then, as the church, as individuals, we have to ask ourselves the question, how many lost people are we reaching? Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost, and I'm sending you out. Well, preacher, that's your job. Yes, that is my job. Well, that's the music person, the youth person, the whatever person. Yes, that's their job. But it's every born-again believer's job that not the pastor gives you, not a board gives you, that God Himself, through His Word and His Son and the Holy Spirit, gives each and every born-again believer is to be His witness. So how? How do we do this? Well, we've been to all kinds of classes through the years. We've been to Evangelism Explosion. We've been to all these things. And how do we do it? You go tell your story. You go tell your story of what Jesus has done for you and how He saved you and who you were before, who you were after, what Jesus is doing in your life right now. So you teach, you preach. Yes, He told these folks here in this scripture, He said, I want you to go teach, I want you to preach, I want you to heal. And they go out, and Jesus Himself looks at people, and many times in the scripture says, and Jesus had compassion on them. And Jesus had compassion on them. So then He says to us, I'm sending you out, you're my witnesses, and I want you to have compassion on people too. It was like the illustration I gave last week or week before about the Walmart experience. And Jesus says, I want you to have compassion in those situations. I want you to see them as I see them. So He looked at the multitude, as the scripture says, in various places, and He was moved by compassion. Have you ever been able to identify with somebody in a need? Have you ever been able to really suffer with someone that was suffering? Have you really been able to identify in a grieving situation where, I mean, your heart, we talk about sympathy, we talk about empathy, we talk about different words, but you could connect with that person. And you know when you do, and you know when you don't. But sometime you can remember that you really connected in this situation, and the Lord gave you an extra anointing, and you identified with them. And when they were mourning, you mourned with them. When they were rejoicing, you rejoiced with them. But you had that connection. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to feel as they feel. I want you to have compassion on people. And I want you to be moved by it. So there's still people hurting. There's still people that have lost souls that are not saved. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says, not a preacher, not somebody drumming something up. The Bible itself says there's two places to spend eternity. When we shut our eyes in death, and maybe our body will be placed in a church or in a funeral home, death comes, you're going someplace. Where are you going? One or two places, that's it. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Place prepared to be with God forever and forever and rejoicing. And the Bible says things we can't even understand here on this earth. Things that we don't understand that's been prepared for us to enjoy because we put our faith in Jesus Christ, because we trusted Jesus Christ, because we are His disciple. Or the place that is for the devil and his crew. People who have never bowed the knee. People who will not, for selfish reasons, for whatever reason, they will not serve Jesus Christ the Lord. And that eternity is a place called hell. It's still a reality today. Is it politically correct? Does it fit this culture? Does it fit this group and what they say? I don't know what groups it fits in and what groups it don't, but the fact remains the Word of God is absolute truth, and it is still the truth today. Always has been, always will. And we need to go by what it says, not what culture says at the time. So the Bible gives us the facts about those things. Do we still believe it? Does the church still believe that hell exists? Do you believe that it exists or not? Do you? Yes or no? Well, a lot of people say it don't. You sure about that? You sure that there's really a place called hell? Are you sure that that really exists? I sound like the enemy, don't I? Come on, I'm not the enemy, but are you sure? Doubt. There's so much of that in today's world. Are you sure? Are you really sure there's a place called heaven? You know, you just been raised that way. You know, your grandparents said and whatever. Listen to me, church. You better know what you know. You better know what you believe. You better get in the Word of God on a daily basis that you can be ready to witness. Jesus said, I'm sending you out. I want you to go out. Evangelism's essential. Know what you believe. Know the gospel story and live it so that you can go out and you are ready to tell the story. Because hell's not a bad dream. It's not you had too much pizza and had indigestion and had a bad dream. No, it's a fact. It says so in the Word of God itself. So, does that move us? Does that move me like it used to 10 years ago? Does that move me like it did in November the 19th, 1989? Does that move me like it did last week or what have you, that there's still lost people in this world? We all got to answer that question. Are we moved with compassion on people? Do we have a soul burden for their soul? Do we really want to reach them for Christ, or are we just comfortable with how we are? It's easy for churches to be comfortable. It's easy for preachers, churches, people in general, just to be comfortable and kind of go on with the flow. Do we have a soul burden for lost people? Does it matter that your friends are lost? Well, they're popular. Well, they've got all the money or they've got whatever. But are they lost and don't know Jesus as their Savior? Verse 37 on the screen says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You've heard that many, many times. He's not talking about wheat. He's not talking about corn. He's talking about people. He's talking about the soul of mankind. He's saying there's people that are lost out there. And Jesus says, will you be moved by the people? Will you be moved? Will you have compassion? Will you do something about that? Meet the needs of the people. You know, something that I struggle with, and maybe you can help me, is what's the need of Clarkdale community? And you say, well, preacher, you ought to figure that out. That's absolutely true. We as a church ought to figure that out. What is the need of the Clarkdale community? Now, if I go this direction, I'll find a church. If I go that direction, I'll find a church. If I go that direction, I'm going to find churches all over the place. We see them. I don't know if they're full or not, but I doubt it. But we see churches, we see good people all around us. Well, how far is Clarkdale? Do we go on into Meridian? You know, you say, well, what are we going to do for outreach? What are we going to do to reach people here and there? Well, we could go down to Meridian in this neighborhood and that neighborhood. Well, yeah, we could. Well, we could go down here. What is the need of Clarkdale today? What is the need that no other church is meeting? What is the need that God would place in our heart as a church body that we can meet at the present time? Pray about that. Ask God to show us that. What is it, God, that you want us to do right now in Clarkdale, pinpoint it, make it clear to us that we can reach people? You say, well, we reach them one-on-one. I still believe one-on-one evangelism's the best. A lot of people don't believe that, but I do. When you're going here and you run into so-and-so one-on-one at different places, and then that way we all cover several people at the same time, and we bring up Jesus. We witness to them. We don't have to hit them in the head with the Bible. We don't have to be rude. Certainly shouldn't be. But they know, and we bring up the topic of Jesus. What is the need in Clarkdale? Pray about it. God, what would you have us to do? You know, we hear and we read all these studies that, you know, people don't just flock to the church. This big statement was, you build it, and what was it? They'll come. That's not it. You build it and they won't come. We've got to see the need of the community. We've got to see how far that reaches out, and we've got to go there. As well, have something here too, but we've got to go out where the people are. So here's a little word for you on the screen. It says insight. Insight. Pray that we will have insight to what needs to happen. We'll see the need and we'll meet the need of this immediate area that we're in. That God will give us the insight to see exactly that need, and that we'll see it as Jesus would see it. Not just whatever we think, A, B, C, or D, but we would, what if it's a certain group? What if it's a certain whatever? It don't matter about all that. Just God, show us the insight. Give us the insight of the need you would have us to meet. Verse 36 on the screen says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Again, he had compassion on them. And are we moved again? Do we have any compassion about the lostness of society? Is that a word or not? Lostness. You know what I mean anyway, don't you? Are we moved by it, or do we just say, well, that's the way the world is today, bless God, this whole world we live in. If the world's that bad, and it is, we have the most opportunity. What will help the world if it's so bad? Well, if we elect Trump, by golly, people say that'll cure everything. It didn't cure everything. Well, it's better than old Hillary. That's my personal opinion, and I'm not into politics this morning. You got your personal opinion. If we do this, that'll sure take care of that. Not a whole lot changed. What's going to help it? What's going to help the prostitute on the street? What's going to help in human trafficking? What's going to help the drug addict? What's going to help the person who's lost control of this, that, and the other part of their life? What is going to make a difference? Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, they've been in rehab 455 times. Jesus Christ the Lord. There's always hope with Jesus. Mark just sang about it. My hope is in who? In Jesus Christ the Lord. And we've got to find the ways that will help our community and find those needs and meet those needs and be moved with compassion and have the insight to go there. So we're praying for that. The other choice is stay in the comfort zone. You like your comfort zone? Say, yes, I do. Because we all do, don't we? We like our comfort zone. We like things to flow, and I can be comfortable. Oh, like sitting down in your recliner. I'm so comfortable. And sometimes I believe Jesus, he's a perfect gentleman. He wouldn't be like me. Just wants to hit that little button on the side and go, boom! Get out of that recliner! You got all of eternity to rest. You can be up here with me when you're going to die one day, Ron. You're going to do all. Yeah, listen, right now be working in the kingdom. Right now be praying. Right now be witnessing. Right now don't be in the comfort zone. Because if we're in the comfort zone too long, this one passes away. This one. Young, old, all ages in the middle. And if they are not born again, if they're not saved by the blood of Christ, they go out into eternity lost forever. Does that move us? Does that do anything with the people of God? Don't forget what it was like without Jesus. Well, I've been saved 400 years. I'm glad and I rejoice in that. I really do. I've been saved 50 years. Well, I've been, thank God, but do not forget what it was like to live lost. Don't forget that you too were lost one time. And if you did not have the grace and the mercy and the love of Almighty God, you wouldn't be where you're at today. Don't forget that there's people hurting. Don't forget there's people with a lot of pain and all sorts of sin going on. So it is our business. How many times as a preacher have I been said, it's none of your business? It is my business. It is the Christian's business to have compassion on people, on souls. It is my business to have a soul burden. It is my business to be concerned. And however people take that, they take it. But I'll guarantee you, if they wake up one day in heaven instead of hell, they'll be glad you made it your business to invite them to church. They'll be glad you made it your business to tell them that Jesus loves them. They'll be mighty glad that it was your business. We know God does the saving. And you say, well, what are you being so hard on us today for? Well, the people traveling with Jesus, his own disciples were right there with him. I mean, that's close. And yes, we give them a bad time sometimes, but they didn't even get it. They didn't understand it fully. Just, you know, here comes the little children up to Jesus, and what the disciples say, get on out of here. You know, this is Jesus up here. We ain't got time for you. Get on. What'd Jesus do? Turn around and he said, nope. Let the little children come to me. And he even ministered to them. You've probably read this in your emails, but I make mention of it if you have or if you haven't, about the shoe salesman going to Africa to sell shoes. One week, the guy called back to the headquarters and he said, get me out of here. I got to leave. Nobody here wears shoes. I need to get out of this place. He went home. Then they sent another one and said, we'll try one more time, send him. And a week later, he said, send more shoes, send more shoes. Nobody has shoes over here. Please send more shoes. Hurry. It all depends on how we look at it. How do we look at it? The first guy said, ain't nobody wearing shoes over here. Get me out of this place. The second guy said, everybody here needs shoes. Everybody here needs Jesus. Everybody here needs to be saved. Everybody here on this planet Earth that we know needs to go to heaven. Send more shoes. Send more Jesus. Send more Holy Spirit. God, help us to have that soul burden. And don't be fooled. Don't be fooled with the big house and the fancy car and the whatever we get all our material things out here. Don't be fooled. The richest of the rich need Jesus. Don't be fooled by the poor of the poorest. They need Jesus and everybody in the middle. It don't matter if they got a plastic smile. It don't matter if they drive this or drive that. It don't matter where they live, uptown or downtown. None of that matters. What matters is the soul. What matters do people step out of this life knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've lived for Him. And there's no doubt in their mind that heaven will be their eternal home. That's what matters, where we'll spend eternity. Well, if you live to be 100, well, if you live to be 100, good for you. But you've accomplished not even a fraction of time. It's just 100 years compared, and you start thinking about eternity. And I know every time my little pea brain says it's forever and forever and forever and forever, and I cannot understand how long eternity is, but I know it's forever. And I live to be 100? Probably won't. But if I do, I do. Live to be 80? Maybe. I know I'll live to be 55. That's about all I can say. What is that compared to eternity? So we've got to be about our business, the business of Christ. And we've got to get to the insight here, that God will give us the insight and to see what I need to see, to walk through Walmart and see what God would have me to see, to walk in this store or this place or this person's life, to be a part of that. What should I see? Do we even think about it? What does God, why do I run into this person? Why do I see this person today? What is this conversation all about here, really? well, whoever won the ball game and whoever did this and whoever did that and all that's well and good. But why is these people standing before me today? Might be my family. Might be my children. Might be a stranger. What is God up to in this conversation? That we'll have the insight from heaven, from the Spirit of God in mind and soul and heart, that we'll see and we'll have the discernment and the insight to know what God would have us do. And if that's going to happen in my life, I've got to have a close relationship with God. I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me daily. I've got to allow some time for prayer that I can be sensitive to what God would be up to in a person's life, that we can be connected. The next slide says, enlist people. And that's what we're trying to do today, is enlist people. That all of us will get involved. That all of us right here would be involved. That we would be moved with compassion. We would pray for insight. We would say this is not just a routine conversation or meeting here or doing this, but that I'm going to get the insight. I'm going to live close to the Lord, and for whatever reason God has enlisted me and brought me before this person today for a reason. And that we'll enlist people, you, me, and others around us, and we'll tell them the gospel story. Well, Jesus did that. He enlisted help. He got the disciples. Did they understand it all? No. Do we understand it all? No. But we can give it our best shot being led by the Holy Spirit. So we come here, and didn't you enjoy the worship today? Didn't you enjoy that song that He's stronger and He can help you right at the beginning? And all the things we sing about. And Mark saying, my hope is in Jesus. We come to be refreshed and to worship God. We come to praise God. We come to get instruction here today on evangelism. And we come to be filled here with the Spirit of God. And then we go out these doors to give it away. We go out the door today to give it away. To give away if what you learned in Sunday school today about the Holy Spirit or about the love of God or about witnessing or about what how we're to witness, how we're to be witnessing for the Lord this week or whatever. We go out and we give it away. Freely you've received. Give it away, He's saying. Look what God's done for us. Give it away. Amen. Amen. Who's talking back there, huh? Let me get my glasses on. Did you learn what I'm saying? Give it away. Give it away. All right? The last slide, infiltrate the world. Go out there and do something, all of us. Infiltrate the world. What in the world are you reading, Jody? That was the Bible app or what? The Bible app. And there was a great darkness over the world. No. That's we're all okay, right? Amen. We're going to be okay. Infiltrate the world. Get you a Bible app. And it'll talk to them if you're scared to. Pull your phone out and hit that speaker thing up there. And it's for God so loved the world. That He infiltrate the world. Go out there. Sometimes you feel like a spiritual fat cat. You know, we come, we hear that Sunday school lesson, bless God, and it better be pretty good. We'll talk about the teacher. Well, the preaching, pretty good or pretty not good or whatever, but it better be good. Then the music better be good, and then the whatever, and then here we come. We give me another sermon, give me another lesson, give me another song, and we just become spiritual fat cats, and we will waddle around with all of our knowledge, and we don't ever give it away. We just Give me another sermon, boy. Give me another piece of chicken. Give me another pizza. Here we are, spiritual fat cats. We got it. Walk right on by the lost person. Never mention Jesus. Hey, has that thing got an on and off button? No, just cut it off. No. Jerry, I'm just picking. I'm not mad. Okay, believe you me. Give it away. Infiltrate the world with the truth and do something for God. That's what we want to do. We've got the real story, and it's the story of Christ. And we've got great opportunities. So who this week will we talk to? Okay, we know we're supposed to. That's part of that. Give me that sermon. Give me that lesson. Give me that instruction. Okay, here it is. All right, so the instruction is to be close to God and to infiltrate the world and be a witness. So that's the instruction. So who will all of us witness to this week? Name a person. Get at least one person in your mind. And then you know you're going to contact them this week. You're going to contact them however you choose to this week and say something to them about Jesus, about His love, about church, whatever the Lord leads you to do. And then within a month from today, you're going to go see them. And you're going to pray for them every day. So you'll contact somebody, at least one this week. With why? Just so I can say I did it, so I can check it off the list, just so, no. You're doing it because you want to follow the instruction of God's Word. That He wants us to live close to Him. He wants us to have insight from Him. And He wants us to go out and witness to people. So that's the instruction. So we've got one in mind. And then within the month, we'll go visit them. And in this time period in between, we'll pray every day. And ask the Lord to speak with them and help us to speak with them. Evangelism's essential. You better believe it. God expects us to do it. And it don't have to be, well, I can't do this, and I said this, and I get tongue-tied, and I stick my foot in my mouth. All I can say to you is, welcome to the club. But you can follow the Lord. And you can name one person right now in your mind, at least one, that you want to talk to, the Lord would have you talk to. And then in a few days, a month or so, by the end of a month, you'll contact them and you can pray for them every day. And I believe the Lord would say to you, I am pleased if you'll do that. That's the challenge for today. Would you stand with me, please? Our Father, how we thank You and praise You again for a day of life. How we thank You, God, for blessing us to be in a Sunday school classroom and discuss the Holy Spirit, to come here and sing these wonderful songs to You and to worship You and praise You and to know that You're stronger than any situation that would come against us, to be refreshed, to hear Mark say, my hope is in Jesus Christ, and us agree with Him, to take the word of the living God and to know that evangelism is important to You, that souls are important to You, that we're to reach out to people and with whatever that means for us individually and as a church body, that we'll do it, to have insight and discernment from You. God, we want to be Your witnesses this week, this month, this year. And we want to have a soul burden, and we want to be filled with compassion for people who don't know You. Because, Father, it is Your will that none perish. It is Your will that no one goes out of this life and ends up in hell. So, God, today as we close this service, if there's anyone here that's not saved, they've never given their life to You, I would pray that they would see the seriousness of their soul this day. That they would come to an altar and simply ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of sin and turn from it. and for Christians that are gathered here, that we will truly answer the question in our soul and our mind, do we have a soul burden? Are we making evangelism essential? Are we moved with compassion for lost souls? And Father, I pray you'll put the names upon our mind. Give us the courage to see them. And Father, fill our mouths with what to say, that we will be your witness. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.